We also have a very special guest, Sister Togidi, but we'll have her greet her when we are done with the word. Amen. Is that okay? It is good to see all of you. When we came into this place, I felt the presence of the Lord. And, you know, when I started receiving texts from people saying, oh, Pastor, I cannot come because of the rain, I said, are we going to have a congregation today? You know, are we going to have people to minister to? But you know what? The Lord really encouraged me. And, you know, there's something that happened in my heart. And I remembered that God is my audience, you know. And every time I was praying, I felt like I need to direct my praise to the Lord. I need to direct my worship to the Lord. Amen? And you know, that is what God expects every time we come into His presence. Whether there are people, whether they are not, whether we don't have people. Imagine all along as you're driving in your car, and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord hits, the presence of the Lord hits that car, and you begin to worship the Lord, and you begin to praise the Lord. It has happened to me, you know, on many occasions. Like when I'm driving, I just feel the praise. But the Spirit of the Lord has, you know, just leading me to praise and to worship God. And you know, at that point, I'm unaware. I'm concentrating so that I don't hit the car next to me. But sometimes I'm unaware of the car that is passing by me because I'm so engrossed in the praise, in the presence of the Lord. And at that point, I know that the heavens are opening up on my behalf. Amen. And you know what? We need one another. You know, we need that corporate presence in order. There's an unction that is released when we are many of us. It is a corporate anointing that is released, and we are able to, you know, just as the Bible says that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. But there's also an unction that the Lord can release even in your closet when you're all alone. Amen. And when you know that He is my audience, and that I can worship Him the best that I can, even without having anybody compelling you to do it, praise the Lord. And that is what many times the Lord guides us to, He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to make Him His, you know, our only audience. That even when there's a, you could be in the midst of so many people, but you're directing your praises to Him. Praise the Lord. And you know, there's sometimes, many times where we, because of being, going in places whereby you hear people speak maybe on a stage, there's a tendency to think that, you know, when we come in a church service, that these people are leading us to a place, you know, and we are so much dependent on how they sing or how the music is going to go or how they're going to play. And you know what, in some occasions, there's also a temptation, you know, to clap when they have done a good job and to not applaud when they have not done a good job. But you know what? Actual worship takes place in our hearts. Amen? Whether there is music, whether there is no music, whether there are people, whether there are no people, it is that transaction that takes place when you connect with God. Amen? There's a transaction that takes place when you connect with God. Praise the Lord. You see, when you connect a wire, a live wire, into a connection of electricity, what happens? You see some sparks. There's an action that takes place. Praise the Lord. And there's transference of energy from the source into that wire. If you're holding that wire, you might be electrocuted. Praise the Lord. Why? Because there is power that is coming out of the electrical source into the live wire. And that is exactly what happens when we connect with God. When we connect with God, there are things that are happening. God is helping us, and God is helping us in our weaknesses. God is helping us in giving us the strength. God is helping us in opening up our eyes that we may be able to see Him clearly. Amen. Remember that person who was, there's a person who came to Jesus at one point. And when Jesus touched his eyes, he could not see clearly. And Jesus realized that he was not able to see clearly. And then he touched him again. And the more the Lord touched him, the more clearly he started to see. Praise the Lord. That is exactly what happens when we come into His presence, when we abandon ourselves, when whatever happened to us this last week, and when we focus on Him and tell Him, God, if you don't come to help me in this, God, help me in this circumstance. God, if you don't deliver me in this weakness that is almost making me fall, I cannot make it. And let me tell you, God hears that kind of prayer. Amen? It is like a life. It is like we connect ourselves, we plug ourselves into the connection, and we allow the power from the energy source to transflow through us. Amen? And when that happens, you forget about whether there are people in this auditorium or not. And you begin to talk to God. And you begin to cry out to Him. And you begin to admonish. You begin to acknowledge His presence. You begin to extol Him. You begin to lift up His name. And the presence of the Lord becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in our hearts. Amen. When we gain this understanding, you will never have a problem when you come into the presence of the Lord, whether they are people or whether they are not people. Praise the Lord. Because He is your audience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I have a word from the Lord. I'm going to just speak so briefly today. I hope so. And I want to speak about words. Say words. Words. First of all, I just want to thank you, Brother Joe, for ministering to us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He taught us about worship. Amen? That even when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were subjected to an option of not worshiping God, I like what you told us to Daniel chapter 3:15, where they said, we don't need to answer you regarding this because we already know what is rightful for us to do. The thing that is rightful for us to do is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In that area, in as far as that position is concerned, there is no debate. We cannot argue with the devil. We know God well. We know what He has done for us. We have experienced His power. We have experienced His presence. And so there is no debate. Amen? And when they made their position clear to King Nebuchadnezzar, you saw how God showed up in their situation. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when we tell the devil that there's no option that we have other than to worship God, God hears that prayer. Amen? And He makes sure that He shows up in whatever trial that the devil is intending for you to pass through. God showed up as the fourth man, even in that fire that King Nebuchadnezzar made for this for Hebrew children. Praise the Lord. But I don't want to dwell with that so much. I want to speak about words. Praise the Lord. Now, when I was thinking about this message, I thought about the power that we have in words. That God used words to create the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, we find the Lord said, let there be. And as He continued to speak, things became as He spoke. Amen? In other words, this world became into being what it is today because words were released out of God's mouth. Amen? I want you to know, the words that you speak have creative power. Somebody say creative power. Say creative power like you mean it. Yeah, words that you speak have creative power. The words that you speak also can also have destructive power. In other words, within the same word or the same person, you can have words that can have destructive power and they can also have creative power. In other words, the same person, the same mouth can speak words that can build, that can encourage, that can bring life to a situation, and the same mouth can speak things that can bring things down, that can break marriages, that can break destinies, that can break positions and development, and can bring down systems. So God has given us a very, very powerful tool, as we are going to see. But I wanted just to let you know that when God spoke in the beginning, He spoke words and the world became. Praise the Lord. The plant that we see, systems that we are able to see, the sun and the skies and everything that is in the universe, the stars and the heavenly bodies that we have seen and some that we have not seen, have come into existence because God spoke them into being. Praise the Lord. And words matter. In this day of this day and age, I have heard very many people, and especially who speak to the political environment that we have today, saying that words, amen, whatever comes out of your mouth directed matter. Whatever you speak to your brother, whatever you speak to your children, whatever you speak to your spouse, matter. Words matter. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. Praise the Lord. Out of the abundance, I think that is in Luke chapter number 6, verse number, can you look up that for me, Sister Lorraine? Out of the abundance of the mouth, I mean of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? So what that tells me is I don't need to pay a visit to your heart to know what lays in there. Amen? Eventually, when you speak, I'm able to know what is in your heart. Because the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? If I spend 1 hour with you, Brother Wagner, you know, I'll be able to know what has been in your heart. Because what is in your heart will eventually come out. Blood of Isaac, how can you speak good things when you... For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the... The mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. So, if I spend time with you, I will be able to know what you've been feeding your heart. Praise the Lord. Because eventually, you don't speak out of nothing. You don't speak out of emptiness. You speak from a point of resource. You speak from a resource. And you speak from the heart. So what you have fed your heart, eventually what will come out when you speak is something connected to God. Amen? Stored evil in your heart. And I hope no one has stored evil, especially among us. But if the heart, what is stored in the heart is evil, eventually when you speak, evil will come out of your mouth. Amen. And in the book of Proverbs chapter number 3, I believe Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 16. Proverbs 4:22-24. The Bible says, carefully guard the thoughts, carefully guard your heart, for the thoughts, for out of it comes the issues of life. Amen. Guard, in other words, another translation says this, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Amen? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues, or rather flows the issues of life. Solomon knew so much, and he is the writer of the book of Proverbs. Amen? And here, he has come to recognize that, you know, that everything that we would conceptualize or anything that we would have in our minds eventually is manifested, or we take it or we carry it into an action, but it is first of all rooted into the core of our hearts. And so he knows that if we do not guard our hearts, whatever comes out will be unguarded, will be unprotected. And so he says that we need to take care of our heart so that it filters anything that comes into our heart, because whatever settles in our heart eventually comes out. Amen? So we need to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. You'll be surprised to know that in this world, just because of words that we have spoken, to us, we've caused injuries, we've caused people to antagonize relationships. People have become mad with each other just because of the words we spoke. People have separated, people have moved from one location to another because of words that were spoken to them. And on the other side, people become friends because of words that have been exchanged from one another. Amen? People have formed big organizations because of words that people exchanged. People have done so many things. Marriage does good. Children obey their parents, or they do well in school, or they achieve their destinies, or even people achieve greater success in life just because of words. Praise the Lord. But all that we are talking about, words never come out of nothingness. Amen? It took somebody to guard their heart so diligently and to fill it with wisdom and to fill it with knowledge, so that when they speak, they are speaking out of wisdom. When they speak, they are speaking out of knowledge. When they are speaking out of a rich counsel from whatever they have stored in their hearts. Amen? And so when we are talking to, say, for example, our children, when we are admonishing other people, admonishing them out of what we have stored in our lives. Praise the Lord. It is very, very important to know that words matter. Somebody say, words matter. Yeah, words matter. Whatever comes out of your mouth, it matters. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there's a few things that I wrote down here, and I think I can read them to you. That this is, first of all, I was interested in knowing how many words that we as human beings speak. And I came across a statement that says that ladies speak about 20,000 words in a day. I didn't believe that. In fact, I thought, really? It says that ladies speak about 20,000 words in a day, and that men speak 7,000 words. That's like three times. Is that really true? Yes? Somebody said yes. I don't know whether that has been substantiated, but I don't think that is really true. I think that ladies can speak, given, you know, the time and given things that they can talk about, that ladies can speak 20,000 words a day, and that men speak only a third of that. I don't know whether that is true or not, but it just tells us that it takes up the life of the whole of us, that when we wake up, there are words we are definitely going to speak words throughout the course of that day. But let me ask you a question. What do we talk about when it is time for us to speak? Amen? Do we sometimes pause? Have you ever sometimes been in a situation whereby you knew that you had to say something and you didn't want to talk before your brain told you what to speak? Or before you felt in your heart what was rightful to say at that very moment? Amen? Because there are some times when we spoke words, and those words caused injury. And you said, oh my God, that was a mistake. I didn't intend. But see, the thing about words is that you cannot play back the cassette. Once the words have been released out of your mouth, they are gone. You know that? That once you have altered those words, if they be evil words, those words have a power to destroy. If when words have been released out of your mouth have gone, and those words are words that encourage or build somebody, those words will continue to build and encourage somebody. Amen? Can I give you another piece of information that you all know? That among all creation, that God only gave language to human beings. Amen? You know, monkeys, you know, people say that we came from monkeys, but monkeys don't talk. They just have some kind of a language that they talk, you know, and we don't even understand. If they are able to talk, we probably would have understood them by now, if we came from them, right? But think about this, that God, the only species, or we are the only part of God's creation, that God put language in us. And he denied it, or rather, he didn't give it to any other creature. We are the only people who can communicate through words. Insects communicate through instinctively. You know? Bees, for example, they communicate through dancing, you know, some form of dances, so that if a male bee maybe dances four times, maybe within a circle, the other bee is able to understand what that bee was communicating, right? I don't know, I've never read about how cows communicate. But you know, can you scratch me in that area? Please, that area. Because I can see, you know, the cow licking that particular place. And you wonder, why all in that place? Did the cows really communicate in ways that we did not understand? Yeah? You've seen dogs don't communicate, but they kind of communicate in other languages that we do not understand. Only human beings were given the language. That means it's very important to watch what God has given us. Amen? Now, briefly, we are going to go into the words, into the Word of God, and see what words mean, or what God says about the words of a beautiful language that He has given us. Amen? But before we do that, I want to read something that I came across, and I thought it was very beautiful. Because of words that we speak, we are responsible not only for our intentions behind those words, but for other people's perception of us. I'll repeat again. Because of the words we speak, we are responsible not only for the intentions behind those words. In other words, we cannot just say a word to somebody. Like, for example, cannot wake up in the morning and utter a destructive word to my spouse. I'm responsible for the words that come out of my mouth, whether I knew I was aware of what those words meant or not. Amen? Are you listening to me? I am ultimately responsible for how people perceive the way I talk. Amen? So in other words, I can help form an opinion about me from you. I am the one responsible. The way I carry myself, the way I talk to people, I am responsible for your perception towards me. Are you listening to me? So I cannot just go about just being careless in the way I talk and that any word can come out. Let me tell you, the other day I met up somebody. And this really has disturbed me, because this guy, I met him for the very first time. He doesn't know me, and I actually didn't know him. But let me tell you, the first word that came out of his mouth was vulgar words. You know those words, cursing words? And it's like the whole speech that he would talk to me, there wasn't a word. Maybe very few words in between his speech that were not vulgar words. You know, I'm talking of cursing words. I cannot do F that. And I told him, hey. How are you talking to me like that? Because I don't know you. Why do you have to curse in whatever you're doing? You're just explaining something simple to me, and I can see you're not angry. Because sometimes, you know, when people are angry, that's when they use the expletive word, you know, that you don't want to be considered, right? And I told him, you're not even angry. Why are you speaking to me like this? I've warned him like several times. I told him, listen, because let me tell you, I'll tell you this. Whenever he speaks, I feel like it's something that is, he is explaining something that is actually even not connected to me. But when he is speaking to me, I feel like something is piercing my spirit. And I told him, please, can you stop it? Can you stop using these explicit words to me? Because they are causing injury into my spirit. And this guy could not stop. He continues, you know, speaking like this. And I realized that it become now part of his language. Part of his communication pattern. You know, that this is how this guy speaks to whoever comes into his presence. And I said, God, how can we go low sometimes? We allow the devil to take over our lives, and so that whatever is almost like hell, God may help us. That even as we walk and as we talk and as we do whatever we do, our spirit of glorify the name of the Lord. Amen? That whatever comes out of our mouth will be able to encourage somebody. That whatever comes out of our mouth will be able to build somebody. That whatever comes of our mouth will be life to somebody. Amen? Do you know there are so many people who need life today? Do you know that there are so many people whose destinies are shattered and they need a word to encourage them? You are the person that God is going to use to produce some words that will bring life to a dead city. You are the voice that is going to use to bring an encouragement to a heart that is discouraged. So we better watch what we speak. We better think and allow our brains to be used of God so that we'll be able to think before we speak. Amen? There are people sometimes actually who are in a horrible situation. You know, a very sensitive situation. And let me tell you, this is what I've noticed with, you know, as I've gone on with life. You might see all of us here, but But you may not tell what somebody is going through. You didn't even hear that. You might see me in a good suit. And you might see me like I have everything together. But there's something that is eating me up. Only me that knows what is eating me up. And I'm crying out from the inside, asking God, can you help me? Can you send somebody? And sometimes it's easy to just come and speak whatever word to that person, even though they might look like they have it all together. Are you listening? So we need to be very, very sensitive and ask God, God, what do you have? What have you given me to speak to Sister Christine at this point? I've not met her throughout the week. I don't know what she went through. But Lord, may you help me so that whatever I will speak to her will be a source of encouragement from you. That God, you'll be using me as a conduit to encourage her. Amen? But many times, we find that we can speak whatever that comes in our brain that we are speaking. And in the process, we might be cutting across people's hearts, causing injury, and tearing people apart. Are you listening to me? The book of Colossians, chapter number 4, verse number 6. Colossians 4, verse number 6. This is what the Bible says. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Amen? Is that not beautiful? Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Amen? So, whenever a situation comes and you are... Okay, let's read from there. Because most of you read there. Let your speech be always with grace. Okay, it's just the same. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen? So, there is a way you ought to answer certain people. Amen? Hallelujah. Some answers that we have given to people that we were not supposed to speak to them the way we spoke. Amen? But the Lord is telling us that let our speech be always with grace. Grace, grace, grace. Seasoned with salt that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one. The Bible calls us the salt of the... Hallelujah. Salt is a preservative. Amen? Salt, when you have salt, whenever your words are seasoned with salt, whenever you speak them out, those words are meant to preserve the person you're speaking them to. It is supposed to sustain them. It is supposed to encourage them, to lift them up. Hallelujah. Because salt preserves. Salt preserves. Salt does not destroy. Salt preserves. Amen? If somebody is going through a precarious situation and God has put you in their position to come and encourage them, when we consider, when we have our speech full of grace and seasoned with the salt, whatever comes out of our mouth, when we ask God, help me to give me an answer to this particular person, your words will go to preserve them. Your words will go to encourage them in the Lord. Amen? Amen. That is a powerful scripture. But let our speech always be with grace. Amen? Seasoned with salt. And so that we can know how to answer each one. There's a way we ought to answer each one. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. I love this. Ephesians 4, 20. And if you can put up from the NIV, I really love the NIV. The NIV, oh, that is good too, but okay. Let's read from what Sister Lorraine pulled up there. No rotten talks should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of one in need, in order to give grace to those who hear. Amen. I love what it says on this translation here. It says, do not let unwholesome, and then it puts in a apostrophes there, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such a speech as is good for building up others. Amen. So, number one, the speech that we ought to be talking to people, no one should be doing what? Building up others. Amen. Can you allow it? Building up others. Oh, you can say this. I know you will say this. Building up others. Can you say? Amen. So whenever we are conversing with people, ask yourself, is this speech building somebody up? When I'm talking to this person, am I building them up? Am I showing them the way they ought to go? Am I encouraging them in their career? Am I giving them a new option of what they are going through? Am I showing them a new and easier way of how they ought to navigate? Am I building them up? Amen? Hallelujah. I love this. Your speech is as good for building up others according to the need and the occasion. According to the need and the occasion. So that it will be a blessing to those who hear. It is important for us to know what are they going through. Amen. What need does Brother Wagner have? Brother Wagner knows he wants right now to learn how to speak English. Okay? When he speaks one English, yesterday he was telling us he learned something from his school. Be calm. Pray. You'll be calm. So I told him, oh, brother, you're doing very well. You are learning a lot of English. Keep it up. You know what that does? It encourages him. Amen? When he goes to school, he will study another word. Why? Because there's somebody who told him that you're doing better. Amen? Somebody who is struggling with their children, tell them, oh, brother, I will be praying for you. That is a word of encouragement. I will pray that God will give us the answers of what you're going through. Amen? Somebody who doesn't have finances. Oh, brother, what is it that we can pray for? Know their needs of your brothers and sisters. So that when we pray, we are praying according to their needs. And we ought to pray and build them up in whatever they're going through. That is the encouragement that they're getting from this scripture. Amen? Let not let unwholesome, profane words come out of our mouths, but only such speech that is for building others up. Amen. Praise the Lord. James 1:26. I love this too. James 1:26. This is what the Bible says. Ooh. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. This person's religious is worthless. Do you know what to bridle it means? Bridle is that strap that is put on a horse. You know how a horse, they put that bridle and then the rider carries it and he is able to control it? You know? That is a bridle. Now think about this, that even a young kid, as young as maybe Joshua, or even like the youngest children that we have, they can ride a horse. They can control that horse using the bridle, and all they need to do is just pull it just a little. If the horse is supposed to stop because of pulling up bridle, all they need to do is pull up the bridle, and that whole large animal will come to a stop. Amen. So, and that is what that is what the Bible says here. If anyone thinks is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So in other words, what is this one says? If we are not able to tame our tongue, amen? Because you know the tongue is what causes us to speak. That's why they're saying the tongue. And we're going to read a scripture concerning the tongue. If we are not able to tame our tongue, in other words, if we are not able to put parameters with our tongue so that we are able to make a decision what our tongue is going to speak at any given point, and we claim that we are Christians and we allow our tongue to just go to say to other people, then whatever words we speak may invalidate our Christianity. Our tongue to just go, hey, why speak whatever it just wants at any one given moment. Have you ever seen people? There's this clip that somebody sent me. It's about a brother. I don't know whether you saw that. Some of these clips are funny. You know, I don't like all these funny clips that people send, you know, because, you know, sometimes I know they waste a lot of time for people trying to check. But there are some that are good. This guy was hit from behind by another guy with in his car. I don't know whether you saw that. And this guy came out and started saying, you stupid, oh, you now, man. He spoke some big words to this guy. And this guy was just saying, I'm sorry, can we solve this? Can we please, what can I do? Can I call my boss? Don't talk to me about your boss. Whatever. And he raised his voice, and he raised his voice, and he raised his voice. But the boss was in the car. And then eventually, this guy said, my boss is right here. You want to come and talk to him? And then this guy said, I don't want to see your stupid boss and all that. You hit my very expensive car, blah, 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 blah. And then he comes into the car, and he saw he was his pastor. And then he said, oh, my God, this is my pastor. Pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was you. I didn't even know this car was yours. Please forgive me. If it is you, Pastor, I'm so sorry even for the worship. Pastor was just seated there. And he said, is this the guy who leads the worship in my church? You know, let me tell you. Sometimes I was in a store. I think I told you this story. And I had a guy speaking in my mother language, you know. And that guy knew him to be a Christian. In fact, he used to come to church. We used to be in Jersey then, so that guy don't come here no more, so don't think it's any one of. But this guy, the thing that he won, and I had this is, you know, they can know my from the other side. You don't have to see me. So I had this guy who was speaking in Kikuyu, and the things he was saying, I said, is this that guy? In fact, I picked up a little to make sure that it's the one I'm using. And he didn't see me, but I saw him. Man, I said, Jesus. This guy was saying, you cannot even speak them. I said, this brother, he says this again, what happened? Man, you know what? I didn't want to feel bad. In fact, I wanted to buy, and I left him speaking those words. I didn't even want him to see me because he would have been like this guy who went and saw his pastor and said, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I didn't embarrass. But you know what? We may not be in the presence of somebody that we know, but God. He is a silent listener to every conversation. You know, even when no one is near you, God listens. Can you imagine God listens to and records every conversation? Think about this. Even when you're in a dark room, in a closet, when nobody is even near. And God sometimes can come and show, you know, can prove, want to come and embarrass you so that, like, now that guy, I knew about it, and I think even he knew. Even today when we meet, I didn't even tell him. And I looked at him and I said, wow, where? If I was a leader, maybe to be in... In fact, he looked like a good candidate. Like we can entrust maybe to lead like the cell groups or something. But after what he spoke there, I said, I think he needs some more training. But anyway, what I was trying to say is, I was trying to say here, if we need to bridle our tongue, amen? And we need not to invalidate, because what we can say, what we speak can invalidate our Christianity. Praise the Lord. We need to represent Christ wherever we are. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Okay, Proverbs 12, 18. I'm almost done. Proverbs 12, 18. Thank you, Sister Lorraine. There's one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Amen. There's one whose rash words are like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings. You know the people who speak, and when they're speaking, you feel like you're being stubborn. Amen? Have you been in a situation from the time you were born? You were in school, or somebody just, you know, was angry with you, they started speaking some bad language. When we were growing up, there used to be things to look on it, makabishano. No? You know, things like those. But the people who can speak things directly to you, and they are like piercing knife. The people who have tongues, that when they just speak one word, you feel like your head is actually on fire. This, the writer of the book of Solomon, he says there is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust. Stomach, removing them, piercing you like this. The words are like that. You know, there are one whose words are like that. But the Bible is telling us, or is encouraging us, that our words ought to bring healing. Amen? When God calls us in positions where there's a wound in somebody's heart, that we shall be, that our words will be like a balm on top of that wound. Amen? You know, there are people actually who they see, when they see the wound, you can see the wound is healing. By the words they speak, it's like they come to scratch that wound, you know, to make it fresh again. Are you listening to me? There are people who are bent on that. They're scar lookers. They are looking for a scar that is ready healing so that they can say, hey, what is that scar that I see? And they begin to scratch. You know, God is not calling us to be scar finders, but God is calling us to be healers. Amen? Through the words that we speak. Are you listening to me? If you love it, can you say amen? Amen. And you find people like that. It is incumbent upon us as Christians to call those people and call them aside and tell them, you know what, sister? You know what, brother? The words that you have spoken to that sister or to that brother are not kind words. Please, can you just, God's called you to be a minister of reconciliation. Amen? We had a problem in our family just the other day, our family, my immediate family. But my brothers and sisters, and they were really, really angry with my brother's wife and my brother's, actually two brothers' wives, you know, and in-laws, you know. And every time there would be something that would obstruct that. And we realized something, or part of my sisters again, they realized that this the wives to my brothers, you know, would take information and go and in cop, you know, sow seeds of discord. And so in our WhatsApp group, my sisters were so mad and they are writing their things, and I said, stop. You can write such things in such a forum, because you will never solve anything by writing ugly words to one another. I wrote them and I told them, God has made each one of us to be ministers of reconciliation. Because why you seem to be so perfect when you're writing this, I told them, you cannot even write like this because none of us is perfect. Amen? You know, sometimes we wanna seclude in an area whereby we think that we are perfect and that we don't have any fault and that we can point an accusing finger to somebody else. We all have weaknesses. Oh, you sound like you're from Mars because you didn't even say amen on that one. We all have weaknesses. If you're looking for a Mr. Perfect, you know what? You want to go, first of all, get to heaven. Be with Jesus to get a Mrs. Perfect or a Mr. Perfect. We all have weaknesses. Say, I have weaknesses. And before you point a finger at somebody else, first of all, remove. It's a scripture like that, right? Before you remove a log, before you remove a speck from somebody's eyes, first of all, remove the mugogo, the log, from your. Are you loving me? You know, we like being, naturally, we as human beings, we like pointing fingers. Oh, look at that person. No, what does he need to understand? Why did he even do such a thing, crazy thing? And some of these are directed to people who are very close to us. Yeah, we call them names that really look so bad when we use our tongue. You know, when I call somebody a dog, it doesn't really look so bad. But when I switch into my language and I call somebody a dog, it is like that sword that, you know, you switch in and you remove and you switch in. If I call Gideon Kuieno, see, you heard what somebody said, oi. See, it sounds very bad. But the fact of the matter, there are people who call themselves Christians and they call other people even bad things. Amen? It is like a sword that cuts in, removes in. Hallelujah. As Christians, we ought to bear with one another. Oh, I know I'm preaching. I can say amen. We are supposed to bear with one another because we all have weaknesses. Let me tell you, this wife that you see here, wife of mine, she remembers things when we first got married. At one day, I think I called her stupid. And she can remember. You know, when she, first of all, I'm not embarrassed about it. I repented and asked her to forgive me. But it's good to give you an example. But it is easy for us to go back down the line and remember the things, the bad things that were said to us. 16, almost 20 years down the road, she said, you remember even when you had a blue shirt, you had even a long dress, you just came from work, and I just prepared you this. I cannot even remember all those things. And for sure, you called me. I said, me, born again Christian pastor, me, called you that? Me, I called stupid? No, I mean, I didn't do that. She said, yes, you said that. Why I'm saying is, and I know she doesn't want me to use this example, but we have a propensity when a bad word has been told to us, that it lingers in our lives. Don't you think that if I was ever careful at that very beginning, when we were beginning, you know, to when I got married to her, that if I was calculative of my words, today she would just remember the good words I ever told her. She would never remember that word. Amen? Today I've told God, God, please help me. Even when I'm angry, please help me not even to speak. I try as much as possible. Let me tell you, this is a practice I've done. And she can tell you that when I'm angry, I tend to zip up. Because I know when I'm angry, there's a propensity when you're angry to speak a word that is going to be remembered. Amen? So the best thing is to, first of all, cool down the emotions. Retreat slowly and let, first of all, whatever is happening, cool down. I let my brain take over. Jesus to take over through my brain to tell me, please do not speak this word. Another guy called me the other day. And this is, I think they had a fracture, you know, some fracas with his wife. And he called me 7 in the morning. And I knew this guy, he's up to something. Tony, you need to tell me what to do. And he started pouring out. And I'm just saying, You know, so I've been doing this to this my wife, and I've been doing this to my wife, and all that she says is this. And I pulled up, you know, in this place. I was wanting to do an inspection on my truck, and they had told me to come in. And now they say that almost done. We cannot do it to your truck. And I felt like blowing out. I felt like coming out with my knife to go hit that lady who told me that they cannot inspect my truck. And I knew that in a few minutes, I was going to be in police handcuffs. But this guy told me, he told his heart, please quiet, keep quiet. And that is what he said that day. It is important for us to come to our senses before we speak, even in anger. Are you listening to me? Come to your senses. You know, the Bible talks about self-control. You know, even if it is going to say, please, self-control, take over. Self-control, take over. Because I feel like I want to blow out. Self-control, Wenako. Take over right now. Self-control, I need you. Self-control. Self-control is where you come to your senses and you say, God, I know what is happening right now, but please give me the cool. God will give you the cool. But if self-control is nowhere near you, your mouth is ready to go. The devil is ready to pick up your mouth and use it. Let me tell you, police can come very easily. And you can find yourself very easily in jail here, by the way. Just because of the words that we speak. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are called to bring healing to the places that are hurting. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15 verse number 4. Proverbs 15 verse number 4. The Bible says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Amen? Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. You know what a tree of life is here? When the Bible talks of a tree of life, it is a prize life. Amen? It is a giver of life. But the perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So if the tongue decides to utter things that are evil, it will break the spirit. Amen? And then I put down here, the owner of the tongue decides the contents of the word spoken. Gentle words will give life. But when used in an unwise manner, it will break the spirit. The words could be profanity filled or grace filled. So we have a decision to make. Can we put grace? Can we have our words seasoned with salt? Let our words that will come out of our mouth be full of grace. Amen? Hallelujah. And then they will be able to give life to those that need it. Amen? Now, see, in Psalm 66, verse number 17, and I'm for sure, and I'm almost done. Psalm 16, verse 17, the Bible says, and I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Praise the Lord. Those are some of the things that the Lord created our tongue and the words we have for. And, you know, that I cried to him with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue. I don't know whether there's any scripture that really talks that he really uses of words. Romans 10 verse number 9. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. There's no greater use. I mean, it says like this. For if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he raised him from the dead, then we are done what? We are saved. Amen? So by the words of our mouth, we also receive salvation. Praise the Lord. And think about what a good use of the word to speak. That if we can confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord and believe with our hearts that he raised him from the dead, we know that we are born again. Two more scriptures. Philippians 4:8. And I would need somebody to read me this scripture. Philippians 4:8. Please, somebody can read for me that scripture. Any one of these beautiful ladies here in the front here, can you read for me? Sister Joyce, Ruth, you can read if you have it. Mama Joseph. Any one of you, or James, whoever has it. Philippians 4:8. It's there. It's there on the front. Anybody who can read it? Somebody who can volunteer to read it? Yes. Amen. So it says, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good report, amen. The Bible says that we dwell in these things. We think about these things. Because what happens is this. When we think about these things, what we are doing is, we are downloading things, good reports about people. We are thinking about commendable reports about people. More, something that is of more excellence. We are downloading it into our hearts. Whatever is honorable, we are downloading into our hearts. And you know what happens? Eventually, we are able to speak those things. Amen? That is why we ought to think about those things. Because when we think about something that is honorable, we are downloading it. We are kind of fungua mfereji. We are opening up the tap and we are allowing it to settle in our hearts. So when it comes time to speak, we already have the material to speak out. Amen? So I've been thinking about something about, for example, Sister Christine. If I've been thinking about something that is commendable, if I'm looking at her and I'm thinking of something that is praiseworthy, and I'm thinking about it and I'm downloading it in my heart, when it comes for me to have a conversation with my sister Christine, get whatever I thought about her that is commendable, whatever I thought about her that is trustworthy, whatever I thought about her that is praiseworthy, is what is going to come out. Are you listening to me? But if I thought something evil about her, that every time I see her, maybe I see she's walking, maybe I see the way she is, you know, her countenance, maybe I see, and all those things to settle in my heart, guess what? The next time I talk to her, something that is evil may come out. That's why we need to think good about each other. Amen? When we pray, let us pray good things about each other. When I'm thinking about the pastor, when I'm thinking about the other, don't think about his weakness. He has weakness. You have weakness too. But let us, the Bible is commanding us that finally, brethren, finally, after all this has been done, does it mean that it's not really untrue in that, brother? Possibly. But whatever is true, whatever is honorable, does it mean that we all have honorable things? No. Right? But whatever in that person that is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, does everything about lovely? No. But whatever in that person or that thing that you're thinking about, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, think and concentrate on these things. Fill your heart with these things. For when you feel these things, when you think about a person, when you're talking to them to encourage them, as a matter of fact, even when you're praying for them, you'll be so surprised that only a good report is coming. Oh, Lord, may you energize that sister. Lord, may you open doors for that brother. Lord, may you open up this door for this brother. Open up door for my spouse. Open the door. My God, may you bless them. It'll only be a good report that comes out of your mouth. Are you listening to me? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:16, that's the final scripture. Colossians 3:16. This is what the Bible says. Very, very important. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Amen? No other greater thing that we can hide in our hearts other than the word of God. The word of God, the Bible says, is like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. The word of God is active and alive. The entrance of the word of God bringeth light. So if you heed the word of God in your life, regarding any situation in your life, even when you pray or when you're looking to those situations or making declarations, it will be based on the word of God. And how beautiful, because God honors his promises. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is my hope that we've been blessed by this word today. Amen. Words matter. Amen. And so even as we go out during this week, let us practice this word. When you get angry because somebody really said something very bad about you, you know, think before you speak. Amen. Is it possible for us to think before we speak? Because when we think before we speak, then we'll be able to be like a balm of Gilead that brings healing. Amen. And people will be attracted to you. You'll be amazed how people are attracted to people who talk kind words, encouraging words. People want to be around them. Amen. Because they know if I'm around brother so and so, the only words that will come out of them is a word that will encourage me. Amen. I usually love Brother Julius, you know, Pastor Julius. Pastor Julius, you know, when you are down with him, and if you're down in your spirits, you want to be around Pastor Julius. Pastor Julius will always say, oh, you know what, brother, these things, they're going to work. God is going to be with you, even when there seems not a way. He always has some words to encourage you. Amen? Amen? You don't lose heart. God is going to come through. You know what? This is just but a passing cloud. We are going to rejoice. Tomorrow, there's going to be sunshine. I also love the singer who sings, you know, Toby Mac. I would like you to listen to songs that Toby Mac has sung. He says that, you know what, there might be clouds in your day, but the sunshine is just around the corner. Amen? So keep up walking. Keep up walking because sunshine is just around the corner. Amen? I need others like that who will come and encourage me, telling me that, yeah, speak life. You know, speak life. Speak life. You know, he's always in a situation. Praise the Lord.
Lift up your right hand. Our Heavenly Father,
and I thank you for this word is going to minister to us. Telling us that words matter.
Father, we are the only species on this planet that you give us life. And that, Father, whatever comes from our mouths, O Lord, all matter in the name of Jesus.
You called us to tear up one another. You called us, Lord, even to encourage one another.
May our words be creative when we speak to others. May we speak destiny into the lives of people,
into the lives of our children. To our situations.
Our situation is not changing. And we take situations work in things. Through the word that shall be our children,
through the word that is in the name of Jesus. Our places of work.
People might tell me work, but we take those situations that work in the name of Jesus. Because our word, our creative power.
You've told us, Lord, to have the same mind was in Christ Jesus, and Lord, we know that we have the same mind.
When you spoke the world into existence, they need to be manifested in the natural. Lord, we speak those situations right now in the name of Jesus. There are miracles that need to be. Father God, we speak them in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the word today. Lord, we pray for the people that came to church today. In the name of Jesus. I pray that this will be a great example now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall continue to bind us together with the cords of love cannot be broken. Because your love will give victory, give us success, and you shall open up doors for every shine in their lives.
I'll give you praise and we honor your name. For it is in Jesus' name. Father, we love each other again.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. And